Chapter 40. Kip didn't know why he was surprised. He'd thought, once he got into the restricted libraries, his problems would be solved. As if merely because you had to fight for something that meant it was good. The truth was harder to find. The books were filled with accounts the Luxiats didn't want read, but finding exactly what Kip needed, when he didn't know what that was far harder. The Forbidden Library had become the squad's second home. When Kip wasn't training with Karis or attending lectures or training with the Blackguards, he was here. If Andros Guile had been initially irritated that Kip had used his writ to get all of his friends access to the library as well, he'd been placated when Kip reported how the Luxiats had been secretly defying the Promarchos. Kip was sure there were some very unpleasant discussions between Andros and the High Luxiats after that, but of course he didn't get to see any of that. He was also glad to see that Andros had blocked any direct vengeance the Luxiats might have wanted to take on Quentin. Not that the young scholar took much hope of that. "Light never forgets," he said.
"Huh?"
Kip asked. "It's how we say Luxiats have long memories," Quentin said, not even looking up from some boring tome of archaic theology. Quentin mostly filled his time doing his own research, exploiting the access Kip had given him to restricted materials for a treatise he was writing. But he'd also become a vital resource and good friend to the squad.
"Or Holum have mercy," Cruxa said.
He'd finished his own studies for the day and had been helping Kip search for books on the black cards. He sat back from the scroll he had unrolled in front of him.
"What?"
Ferkudi asked. All of them were seated around a table. Ferkudi and Delos, who had only learned to read in the last year and still read slowly, were agonizing over their own studies nearly as much as Ben-Hadad, who'd known how to read for years, but still had trouble with the words swimming around the page. All paused from their work. It had turned out there was a lot of boring material that the Magisterium had banned, but every once in a while, they found a gem. Big Leo said,
"You can't not tell us.
I've been reading about flowering plants for 2 hours.
Flowering plants, Cruxa.
Flowering plants."
Kip liked Big Leo a lot. His mother had been an acrobat and his father a strongman for a travelling circus. They'd been killed in the False Prisms War. Ferkudi had said it was because Leo's father didn't know how to fight, despite his enormous strength. Big Leo had vowed to become the best fighter he could, to never be vulnerable. But other than the intensity that sometimes came out when he was drafting red or sub-red, he was good-humoured and wry. Cruxa said,
"I sort of had this picture of the Greens worship."
He looked around at them, suddenly embarrassed.
"Sorry, Tia."
"Shut up," she said.
"Go on."
The squad treated her like one of the boys most of the time, but neither the squad nor Tia was terribly consistent about when she wanted to not be treated like one of the boys. He shook his head.
"It sounds like fun, right? Orgies and wild drunkenness and dancing and temple girls?"
"It wasn't only temple girls," Tia said. They looked at her.
"Don't even," she said.
Cruxa cleared his throat.
Anyway, I just came across instructions for the planting ritual. It's instructions on how to prepare the infants for human sacrifice. It's not just how to remove the heart from such a small space, but also how to have musical instruments play loudly at the point when the infant starts wailing as they're cut open so that the worshippers don't lose faith."
The whole squad went silent for a moment.
"Or Holum curse them," Big Leo said.
"I could handle that. I mean, I'd heard they passed babies through the flames, and I..."
Cruxa shrugged.
"It was just a story. But this, the worst part is it details how to choose the babies by lot, due to the usual problem of there being many more infants offered by parents than the dozen needed. This wasn't some evil priest ripping a babe out of the arms of some young mother. They did it willingly, our ancestors, our people. How could they?"
Quentin said,
"If I may, there was a warrior priest once named Darjan, who they say saw and participated in all the worst of war, massacres and murders and torture and worse, and excelled at all of it. He was a leading pagan priest, but he became one of Lucidonius's personal converts, and after a lifetime of war around 7 of the 9 kingdoms, he put out one of his eyes, moved to Tyria, and lived out his days as an ascetic, climbing daily to the top of, well, a statue, or what is now Sundered Rock, or there are arguments, and Not important. He spent the last 30 years of his life praying dawn to dusk, and more not important stuff. He once said, for most of our lives, that what Horam is just should fill us with fear, but there are moments when that truth is the only thing that can fill us with peace.
Kip said, are you telling me this is what I've been missing out on by skipping the Lives of the Saints lectures? Murderous warrior priests who camped out back in Recton? I climbed on that statue.
Way to miss the point, Breaker, Tia said.
You have to sit through a lot of lectures to get the good ones, Quentin admitted.
They all laughed a little, and they all knew it was only to cover over what they'd heard. But they were all ready to let it go.
It's sort of a look inward first, but look outward too? Tia asked Quentin.
It was an old saying.
Pretty much. The real quote was Ambrosius Abraxas. Look ye first to thy innermost parts, search and know them as does Orholam himself, and then may ye turn thy gaze to the deeds of those who persecute thee. Some of the saints had a real way with words. Others? He grinned.
Still serious, Kraxa said.
This is who we're fighting. This wasn't an individual's guilt, one bad priest oppressing a community that feared him. It was the entire community, eager to participate in what they knew was evil.
There's no evidence that the Colour Prince's people have done any of this, Ben-Hadad said uncomfortably.
This is what they want us to go back to.
They probably don't even know about this, Ben-Hadad said. It's here, in this library. How would...
Are you on their side? Kruxa asked. You read it. You tell me if such things don't go a long way to explaining why the Chromeria sent Luxors out into the world.
The table fell silent. Of all of them, Quentin looked worst.
That was a dark chapter in the Magisterium's history. We don't even like to speak of it.
Tia said, I've heard rumours that some of the High Luxiats themselves have been agitating to give the Office of Doctrine some of their old powers again.
Quentin shook his head.
Other Luxiats have foolishly said such things, yes, but I don't think it goes that high.
I haven't squashed those rumours, though, Kip said.
They're scared, Quentin said. But they're wiser than scared. We can trust them.
I'm sure people thought that the first time the Luxors were established, Ben-Hadad said.
Quentin's right, though, Tia said. They're right to be scared. Every time we hear about the war, it's about a loss, like at Ruik Nek. Even the victories don't make sense. A victory at Sitara's Wells? And then, 2 weeks later, a victory at Amiton? Our armies marched backward as fast as they could reach the next victory. I think we're losing everywhere, and they're lying about it.
Enough about the war, Kruxa said. I don't think we should be looking at these books any more. These volumes were restricted for good reason. I think this knowledge deserves to be lost.
You can't be serious, Ben-Hadad said.
Look at what I just read, Kruxa said. I can't unlearn that. I didn't even read you all of it. It's worse, and I didn't even finish. What's wrong with saying that in some cases other people know best?
I wouldn't trust anyone to know what's best for me, Ben-Hadad said.
Then maybe you don't belong in the Blackguard, Kruxa snapped, because that's what you agree to every time you take an order.
Enough, Kip said. Kruxa, I'm sorry you had to read that. If you need to stop, stop, but I need to do this.
Do you? You don't even know what you're looking for.
It was a sore spot. They'd looked through a mind-numbing number of genealogies. Clytos Blue was, like most nobles, related to nearly everyone, and though they found hints of dozens of scandals, none involved Clytos directly. It was getting harder not to conclude that they'd been wasting their time. Kip shot back,
If you can't handle the horror of what man can do to man, maybe you're the one who shouldn't be in the Blackguard.
The table fell silent. Kruxa's ever-warm eyes chilled.
Breaker! We're going to be part of this war, like it or not. It's going to kill some of us at this table, and it's going to change all of us. It doesn't mean we should be eager for those changes. Most of them aren't good.
These books could give us the edge we need to win, Kip said. The best thing these books can do is to teach us forbidden magic.
For defence, Tia said. How can we defend against what we don't even know?
Knowledge is a musket. You can use it only as a club, but will you? When your life is on the line? The miracle to me is that the Luxiats were able to sequester this knowledge at all. Breaker, when I held Lucia in my arms as she was dying, in that moment, I would have damned myself with any magic known or unknown if it would have meant vengeance on her murderer.
The faces around the table were sombre. The young Luxiat looked on the verge of fainting.
Delicate sensibilities about damnation, Kip figured.
There isn't only the danger to our souls, Kruxa said. If we use these, the Colour Prince's drafters will too.
If they can figure it out, they don't have our books, Tia said.
They probably have their own books, Ben Haydad said.
But what if they learned it from fighting us, Kruxa said. Then they think they have to use these magics because we are. They're probably already working on all this, Big Leo said. This stuff is forbidden by us, who they hate and wish to destroy. Let's be realistic. They're not going to be held back by beliefs they don't share.
We're talking about starting an arms race, Kruxa said.
Tia said, we're not starting it. We're just starting to run before they cross the finish line.
The only way out of an arms race is to win, Ben Haydad said.
In such victories, all men lose, Kruxa said.
Better to lose your idealism than your life, Kip said.
You all agree with this? Kruxa asked.
No one looked excited about it, but there were nods all around.
Maybe we should listen to Kip on this one, Captain,
Vercudi said.
I mean, he is the light.
Ow!
What the hell, Tia?
He rubbed his rib. She stared at him. Around the table, smirks were being suppressed.
Oh, right. We weren't going to talk about the littlest squad member,
Vercudi said. There were groans around the table. Big Leo buried his face in his hands.
This again?
Kip said. He knew they'd speculated. Everyone wants to live at a pivotal time in history, right? And if you weren't arrogant enough to delude yourself into thinking you were the Lightbringer, surely the second best thing would be thinking you knew him.
Not all of you, though.
So, Tia said, redirecting. Yes, Captain, we all agree.
Kruxa blew out a breath. He looked from face to face.
I can't lead where you won't follow, so I'm in. But I want you all to remember this. We had a choice here.
Kip wanted to follow up about the Lightbringer silliness, but after the ominous gravity of that, it was too awkward. They fell back to their studies. Gradually, they got back to their complaints about the archaic diction, or how much work the Magisters were expecting them to master, or their Blackguard training, or, in Quentin's case, with how he couldn't figure out the organization of the restricted library yet, which didn't follow any of the usual schema. When they were getting up to leave, Kruxa pulled Ben Haydad aside.
Ben, a word.
Kip hung back.
Ben, this squad is like a body. We've all got our different parts to play, but we need to work together. I need to know.
This is about me saying I don't trust anyone to know best for me?
Ben Haydad asked.
That's right.
Crux,
Ben Haydad said.
I don't trust you to know what's best for me, but I trust you to know what's best for the squad, for the Blackguard, and they matter more than I do. That's why I take your orders, and why I will. To the death.
Crux's whole demeanor eased, and he was suddenly a less worried leader and more happy young man, glad to have a friend back.
Besides, Ben Haydad said, everybody needs an asshole.
Kruxa groaned.
Did you hear that? Kip said. He just volunteered to take all the squad's shit.
I didn't mean I was the asshole, Ben Haydad said. It always comes back to poop jokes, doesn't it?
Kruxa said. In sailing, the poop, by definition, is at the... Tia started.
Don't.
Oh, just one crappy...
No!